Hi, it's Mark Zinkowitz. I am in Greenville, South Carolina at the National Association of Plant Breeders Conference with a terrible voice. And I sat down with two Andys yesterday, Andrew Herr and Andrew Horgan. Both are former Borlaug scholars. The Borlaug Scholarship supports attendance of up-and-coming plant breeders at the NAPB annual meeting, and wanted to find out why the scholarship was of value to them and where they are today. Enjoy our chat. Yeah, because we're here at NAPB for the annual meeting in Greenville, South Carolina. Thanks for sitting down with me, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
And you're both named Andy, so I'm going to have to make sure I don't get confused. But we'll start with Andrew Horgan. Andrew, you're a former Borlaug scholar. Can you tell us when you were a scholar and why you remember originally applying for it?
Yeah, so I was a Borlaug scholar last year. I guess 2022. And I applied for it. Really, A&M really pushes, I mean, they do a lot of advertising for NAPB type stuff. And I saw an advertisement for it. And of course, I had a couple friends who had also been Borlaug scholars. And so that was, I heard it was a great opportunity. And you get really well connected with people who, like the mentorship program. So it was a good opportunity. So I went for it. And, yeah, and it's been a really great it's been a really great time.
Andrew Herr, I also interviewed you as well when you were a Borlaug scholar, and when was that? Can you refresh your memory, and why did you originally apply for it?
Yeah, so that was 2018. I was the first class, and I was a Borlaug as an undergrad, but I originally applied because as an undergrad I kind of realized plant breeding was something I was interested in, and I was encouraged by some faculty at Iowa State to apply for this opportunity, and ended up getting it. I didn't know exactly what it was at the time, but I don't think the organizers did either at the time, but it ended up being a great networking opportunity, and I ended up meeting my current advisor at Washington State, Aaron Carter, at that conference. So I completely contribute the me getting into grad school and finding the amazing program that I did being because I was a Borlaug scholar at that first year of Borlaug scholars in 2018.
So. Yeah, that was the first. That was like the inaugural year.
Yeah.
So Andrew Horgan, what are you studying now? You're Texas A&M. What's sort of your specialty these days?
I'm studying tomato ripening. So we're looking into some of these heirloom and heirloom type tomatoes. So both breeding lines that are trying to reintegrate some heirloom flavor and heirloom quality back into modern varieties. But then we're also looking at true heirloom cultivars like Brandywine. So, you know, cultivars that have been around for over 100 years. And we are looking at various texture phenotypes. So mostly softness. So how quickly does the tomato soften? Because that is, you know, very, that's a big indicator of shelf life, right? So we're looking at, can we use gene editing tools to modify some of these softening phenotypes so we can get these heirloom type tomato qualities without that rapid fruit decay. And so we're using gene editing, but we're also collaborating with a group at Cornell. And up there, we're looking at a diversity panel to see, try to identify some natural variation that we can attribute to prolonged shelf life or different fruit textures. So it's fun. I get to work with a lot of weird-looking tomatoes and old tomatoes and stuff that's, you know, probably shouldn't eat because people were scared to eat nightshades for a long time for good reasons. And so. We're working with a lot of wild species and all the way up to big, juicy beefsteak tomatoes. So it's a fun project. And, yeah.
Andrew Herr, what about you? What are you doing these days?
I'm doing very different things. I'm out at Washington State working in the winter wheat breeding program. I'm wrapping up my PhD And my focus is really on trying to find ways to use UAV drone technology in a breeding program. We just got done with the poster session, and it seems like nowadays half the posters are about drone imagery or how can we use high throughput phenotyping. But our kind of focus is on, again, how can we use this technology to improve the breeding that we're already doing and improve the pipelines that are already in place? Can we bring this new technology alongside that, and can it practically improve what we're doing? And so, so far I've done some comparisons with different sensors, trying to figure out, is everything interchangeable? Can all of this work? And it turns out that some sensors work better than others, some platforms work better than others. And then recently I've been working on trying to incorporate the data we're collecting from these sensors, from these drones, into prediction modeling. So with genomic selection that's already well established in most programs, can we incorporate this data, this new data sets, into those prediction models and improve the prediction accuracy that we're getting? And it's looking like we can. Maybe not as much as people hope, but definitely can improve what we're already doing.
Now, before I let you guys go, I wanted to talk about the Borlaug Scholarship. Andrew Horgan, I'm curious how being a Borlaug Scholar, I mean, obviously you're still coming to these meetings. This is something that, one reason I want to talk to you about was to encourage people not just to get involved in the Borlaug Scholarship, but then once they become a scholar, to keep involved, to stay involved in APB, to keep coming to the meetings. Why was being a Borlaug Scholar valuable for you, and why did you decide to stay involved, to keep coming to these meetings?
I would say my answer is probably similar to a lot of the other Borlaug scholars, because there's a really, really good, it's a great system for connecting you to people, not only in the same field, but even in those more narrow kind of specializations within the greater field of plant breeding. And so, you know, they partner you with a mentor, and that mentor, they try as best they can to pair you with somebody who has kind of close fitting values and kind of goals and stuff like that. So if I want to go into industry and vegetable breeding, okay, well, they paired me with somebody who worked at Bayer, you know, in the vegetable program. And so that's been a really cool opportunity. It's given me actually the opportunity to go visit their facility in California. I still meet with my mentor, Kiru Pile, like every 2 weeks, and he's great. And it's been really encouraging and has really given me a bunch of insight and value on kind of what does that sector of industry actually look like. And it's great also as a graduate student to have that mentorship that's not your PI or your actual major advisor, because there's a relationship there that you can't really get out of. Mm-hmm. Or there's a relationship dynamic between you and your PI that, not necessarily bad, but it limits sometimes your ability to be, you have asked certain types of questions. And so you have a mentor outside of that realm, like a third party mentor, that in a lot of those, at least in mine, is kind of like, I can ask Kiru anything I want, you know, and I don't have to worry about, is he going to make my prelims, like, you know, more difficult if I ask the wrong question, you know? And so it's just really, really valuable to have that sort of outside mentorship. And I think the value that I've gotten from that, kind of, why would I not keep coming back? You know, it's something that I think they have invested a lot in, you know, the Borlaug Scholar Program. So it only makes sense to give back what I can. And as a graduate student, that might not be a ton. But it's definitely something that I plan on. You know, there's some people on leadership committees now in the organization who were past Borlaug scholars. You know, we're at that stage now where some of the 2018 class that you were, like, who are PhD students are now in leadership positions in the organization. And I think that is also a testament to how valuable it is, you know.
Andrew Herr, what about you? What keeps you coming back, and why was it valuable for you to be a scholar?
Yeah, kind of mentioned it before, but again, my first time here, I found my now advisor, now PI, Aaron Carter, and I connected with him because of my mentor. I kind of was describing what I was looking for in grad school, what's interesting to me, and he's like, oh, you need to go. David Francis was my mentor, but he's like, you need to go talk to this guy. Like, you have to, like, and I think that's what NAP is kind of about. It's making connections, and like, you may not know somebody, but someone you know does, and this is the event, this is the time where those connections can be made, and you can meet people that can help build your community, build your network, and you can help further each other in the industry. So I would say wholeheartedly, I keep coming because of the community and the networking that's here.
Thanks so much for sitting down with me, guys. It's been exciting because, yeah, there's so many, not just Borlaug scholars now, but George Washington Carver scholars, and so it's good to get that firsthand testament to why it's valuable to apply and be a scholar and get involved. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.